Nationals MPs have met for a third time in as many days, today joined by Liberal MPs, but there's still no commitment on net zero. In fact, there was no discussion on net zero at all in today's joint party room meeting, either on the National Party negotiations or the need to reach net zero by 2050. While the party room meeting was silent on climate emissions, many Liberals are publicly stepping up their support for the target. Environment Minister Susan Lee says work is already underway to reduce emissions, with many opportunities for the regions.
What this debate has been about, and where I think the real opportunity is in the net zero 2050, because that allows Australia to participate in game-changing technology that makes an enormous international difference to emissions, where we can really play our part.
Katie Allen is the Liberal member for Higgins. Welcome back to RN Drive.
Good evening, Patricia.
In August, you said you were confident there would be a commitment to net zero by 2050. Are you still of the view that net zero by 2050 will be agreed to before COP26?
Yes, I am.
Why?
Well, we have had many discussions, and those conversations are happening right across Parliament. They're happening in the corridors, in conversations, and on the floor of the party room. It's about ventilating the issues, and there has been a long discussion held by individual party rooms. And in your introductory comments, you said that there was no more discussion today. There were questions asked today in the party room, but I'm not going to talk about what the specifics of that were. But it is clear that there have been discussions that are ongoing, and I believe that the ventilation of those arguments are being well made. And MPs and senators are representing both their electorates and their states and their positions. And I believe that we're heading in the right direction.
There was no mention of the target or the path there in today's joint party room meeting. Why wasn't it raised?
Well, actually, what we have, and, you know, we're not really supposed to talk about party room details, but it is fair to say that there is an open opportunity for questions, and questions were raised and they were discussed. So it's not actually fair to say that there was no discussion. But I think what it does say is that there has been an awful lot of talk and there is now time to act. So, you know, I think that the discussions, the debates have been had, and now it's up to the last stage, the keystone moment, I'd like to say. And this is not just something that's happened overnight or in the last few weeks. This is something that's been happening, in my view, from the day that I got elected into Parliament. There has been a plan that's been developed for a very long time, and Alan Finkel's been right at the front of that plan, working with the Minister for Energy and Emissions Reduction. And that has been to invest in, you know, a low emissions technology strategy. That inaugural strategy was released last year after a lot of work by Alan Finkel and, of course, the Minister and the Department. And there's also been work on the energy front in the energy portfolio, with things like the Big Stick legislation to make sure that on the other side of it, it's not just about lowering emissions, but also making sure that we can keep our costs of energy down as we transition through what is a pretty momentous stage of our history, if you think about it. We're moving from, you know, a country that has supplied fossil fuels cheaply to the world and used them ourselves, to a point where we are now stepping onto the front foot and saying we are going to lead in the clean energy technology revolution. This is a very big point in our history, in the nation's history.
Some Nationals MPs have hit out at Liberals for backing the target, suggesting the regions stand to lose from the transition away from coal and cities won't be affected. What's your view?
Well, I think it's a very debatable point. I mean, we're hearing lots of different views on this. At the end of the day, there will have to be transition and there will be job changes. Now, the argument is that there is an opportunity to pivot from one, you know, type of trade jobs to another type. But of course, in that transition and in that process, there are people who'll need to pivot and change what they're doing. And of course, that takes time and support. But an example is, for instance, critical minerals. You know, when we think about mining sector, we traditionally think about fossil fuels. But in the mining sector, there's also critical minerals. And so you can pivot one to the other. And as an example, our lithium exports, at the moment I understand they're around 90,000 tonnes a year at $14,000 a tonne. It's predicted that by 2030, the EV or the electric vehicle revolution that's happening around the world will fuel demand for lithium that will move from 90,000 a year export in Australia to 2 million tonnes a year. So there are lots of opportunities. And of course, you know, we're looking into the future, we're modelling into the future. As people have watched with COVID, it can be difficult to really predict the future, but you have to line up your principles, you have to line up your values, and you need to bring people along on the journey. And with technology, we're taking a diversified approach to which technologies, you know, are going to win. There's not going to be one silver bullet for the clean energy sector. There's going to be many different solutions. And we are, with our low emissions technology strategy, investing in many of those to be produced right here in Australia.
Can Australia be taken seriously on climate action at COP26 when the government MPs are actively fighting against the target?
Well, I don't see, I mean, what I see it is a ventilation of the debate. And in fact, I mean, you know, this, we know there's been the climate wars in Australia. That has been an issue. It's been an issue politically. And what we're seeing is a resolution of those climate wars. And what we're going to move to is vigorous climate debate. I've no doubt about that, about how we get there. But it's no longer a matter of if we're going to get there. It's how we're going to get there. And that is a really good place for us to be moving as a country. It's moving onto the front foot with regards to technology leading the way. And there are going to be lots of good news stories that we are taking to Glasgow. For instance, you know, a Paris commitment for 2030, it looks like we're going to meet and beat that. We're on track to meet and beat that. And we also, you know, one of the few countries to do that with a, you know, 20% emissions reduction on our 2005 emissions. But more than that, we also have some other very, very good stories to tell. For instance, we are very good at accounting of carbon. And if we're going to have integrity in the systems around the world, then we need to make sure we account for carbon correctly. And Australia is actually a world leader in that area. And we also have lots of opportunities with our solar and our wind and potentially our huge investment in hydrogen, both by the government and by the private sector, as well as some of the new technologies that are coming online, like our work in solar. So there's lots of opportunities, lots of things for us to discuss. And I'm feeling very positive about Australia's position going towards into Glasgow.
National Senator Matt Canavan says the government should publicly release the modelling informing the net zero plan. Do you back that call?
Yes, I think the modelling will be released in, you know, once it's gone through cabinet and once all of that's available. I think it will be important for everyone to feel part of it, like we did with COVID. You know, there was the Doherty modelling that was made available where the government was making decisions in our response to COVID. And I think, you know, the public has enjoyed that sense of trust and respect that the government has had for the Australian public. And I think the same is true for clean energy. I think we need to understand which technologies are going to be scalable and commercialisable, which technologies are going to lead the way, which need some more work. So we need to pivot off fossil fuels and, you know, we're backing in hydro. We're backing in a transition of gas to get us off quicker, but we need more science, more development in clean energy, hydrogen and batteries to make sure that there we're going to get to with regards to firming our renewables going forward. Because we've got plenty of renewables, but we still need firming power. And everyone knows that around the world.
Just finally, obviously, there's a pathway out of COVID in Victoria and there's a reopening. Do you think Victorians have to be prepared for, you know, numbers that just go up and up?
Well, we've been watching the other jurisdictions around the world very carefully. And of course, New South Wales is a jurisdiction close to home where we can watch that carefully. The most important thing is we've probably got almost the highest rates of vaccination in the world, which is a great story. And it's fantastic that Australians have put their arms forward and got the double jab. So it's hard to compare us completely, but you've also got to remember that the different vaccines across the world have been utilised differently. Most people have got a couple of vaccines. We've got two or three vaccines that we're using. So, of course, that will have an impact on people's levels of antibodies and also the stage that we've got our vaccines, because our vaccines means that we've done the vaccination program very quickly. So all of those things make modelling a little bit more difficult. But the most important thing, and the reason I say that is some of the modelling Has been more pessimistic than has actually occurred, which is good news for Australia, particularly the Burnett Institute. They were modelling more conservatively. So the good news is we seem to be doing better than the modelling suggests, but we also need to be aware that as we open up, there will be more cases as it will enter into the more general public, but we want every single person to go out and put their arm forward and get vaccinated. We're at very high vaccination levels, but we want those who are not vaccinated to really think about, you know, their decision to not get vaccinated, why that might be. Go and see their GP and put their arm forward to get vaccinated.
Katie Allen, thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you so much, PK.
Katie Allen, the Liberal member for Higgins, 0418 226 576 is the text line.